As homeschooling parents, we have a lot on our plate. It's easy for the pressures of everyday life to get in the way of us bonding with our kids. We spend all day together, but the day fills up with meal prep and lessons, chores, and the ordinary rhythms of life at home. However, a huge reason we are home with our kids is so we can spend time with them, so we can know them and bond with them. One of our favorite ways to do that is through reading together. And another great way to bond with your children is to get outside together. Today, we're talking about bonding with our kids in nature. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast with Carol Joy Side. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. One of the marks of a great education is time spent in nature. Carol spends a lot of time talking about the importance of nature, both for your child's development and as a child's first introduction to science. In this episode, Carol is joined by Greta Eskridge, homeschooling mom of four and author of two books, Adventuring Together and 100 Days of Adventure. She knows what it's like to pack a car full of kids up for a nature walk and says it's one of the best things she's ever done with her kids over the years. If you're looking for a simple way to bond with your children, this episode is for you. Listen in.
So welcome, friends. I am super excited today as I'm sitting across a Zoom screen, which I hate, with my dear friend Greta Eskridge. Greta is going to tell you all about her ministry and her passion, but just a little bit about her is that she lives in Southern California, very close to where I live. She has three boys and a girl, most of them teenagers, and she's written several books. And one of her heroines is my heroine. So we have a ton in common because Greta loves the wild outdoors. So welcome, Greta.
Oh, thank you. I'm really, really happy to be here with you.
Thank you. So tell us about your passion. I know you're a homeschool mom raising four amazing children. What are the age range of your kids?
Right now, they're all just about to have a birthday. We're entering birthday season. So I'm going to give you their upcoming birthdays. They'll be 20, 18, 16, and 13.
Oh, my word. 20. I don't think I knew you had a 20-year-old.
Yeah. I'm getting like teary-eyed just thinking about it.
Oh, honey, that's so sweet. Wow. And have you raised them in Southern Cal and toward the beach, it sounds like, too, right? Beach area?
Yeah, they're third generation Southern Californians and lived here our whole life. They love the ocean, love the beach. I mean, it's pretty cold. The water, the Pacific Ocean, even in Southern California right now, it has to be in the maybe the high 50s. And my daughter said yesterday, she's like, oh, I just want to go to the beach and go swimming. And I'm like, you're crazy. And she would go without a wetsuit. Like, I mean, hardcore.
Wow. Well, you've raised her well. That's really good because most Southern Californians, I hate to say it, they never let their children see the light of day because the weather is never good enough for a Southern Californian. So there's like 3 days that they like, okay, your kids should go outside. Otherwise, well, it's in Anna's. Well, no, it's too hot. No, it's too cold. It's too windy. It's too. And you're like, are you joking? Because people in Minnesota spend more time outdoors with their children than people in Southern California.
That's a miss. That should not be the case. I will say it rained like we've had not a super rainy winter, but like the third day of rain and all of us are like, oh my gosh, when is the sun coming back? We need to go outside. We're dying. It's so cloudy. It's so dark because we do love to be outside.
That's awesome. Well, tell me about your passion for the outdoors and what brought you to really beginning a ministry to share that with others.
Well, I think I loved being outside ever since I was a little girl. I remember distinctly spending just like all day outside, like kids did when, you know, we were growing up. And we had like an avocado grove across the street from our house. So we would go play in the avocado grove. There was an empty field with tall grass and we would go, you know, build forts in the grass. My dad built us a really cool treehouse in our backyard. So we played in the treehouse. I remember even when I got old enough to do schoolwork on my own, my mom would let me take a blanket outside. And I distinctly remember the days when the poppies, the California poppies, were in bloom, and there'd be this beautiful green grassy field filled with poppies. And I would lay my blanket outside and read my school books and pretend I was, you know, Anne of Green Gables. And I loved being outdoors. It was the place where I felt just really happy.
Yes. Oh, and then how did that translate into your parenting?
Well, again, I have some distinct memories of the time. I mean, of course, when my kids were little, you know, you take them for walks around the block. You go to the park. They play in the backyard, play in the front yard, whatever. But there was a point where I had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a newborn. I was deep in the throes of crumbs and diaper changes and breastfeeding and potty training, snacks all the time, toys everywhere, trying to be on that strict nap schedule so that I could get a minute to myself. And I kind of felt like I was drowning, being inside the house so much of the day. Even if we would go into the backyard to play, I felt like the walls closing in on me. I wasn't my best version of myself. Yeah, I wasn't flourishing. I wasn't the best version of myself as a mom. And I wanted to get away from that routine, not all the time, but every once in a while at least, so that I could really just be totally focused on my kids. Because when I was home in the house, especially, it was so easy to feel like I had this to-do list hanging over my head. The laundry had to be done. I needed to sweep up after breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks, clean up the toys, get them down for a nap. And the to-do list became more important than connecting with my kids.
We're taking a short break from the show to tell you about our in-person seminars coming up in 2024. Our newly revised and updated book lists are hot off the press. You don't want to miss our very own American History handout for the elementary years. Carol and JJ will be teaching our basic seminar, A Literature-Based Approach to Education, where you'll learn the framework and get the tools you need to homeschool with confidence. We have seminars coming up in Minnesota, Dallas, and Nashville later this year. And if you aren't able to come to any of those locations, you can join our live webinar on June 1st. To learn more, visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars. We can't wait to see you in 2024. Now back to the show.
So that was when I decided I was going to get out more than just out in the backyard, more even than a walk around the block, but like somewhere where it was really much more naturey, for lack of a better word, and take them out onto a trail where we weren't looking at houses in our neighborhood. We were seeing all kinds of different trees and plants and maybe even animals and bugs. And we were going to do that regularly. Every week, I was going to spend a big chunk of a whole day outside with my kids. And that was transformational to me as a mother and our relationship with one another, with God. It gave me the breath of air that I needed as a mom.
Yes. And so how did this then become a ministry where you shared the things you learned with others?
Well, I started a nature group with other homeschool moms.
How'd you do that?
It's a long story. I'll try to keep it short. It's not my strength, but I'll try. I just was praying for fellow homeschoolers. I always knew I would homeschool my kids, and tried to find some various groups in my area. None of them were quite right. And then I stumbled upon, the Lord led me to, a group of moms who were practicing Charlotte Mason style of education. And it was just monthly group where we would get together and read her books. And I didn't know about Charlotte Mason, even though I was raised homeschooled, but I didn't know who she was. But I was instantly like intrigued and connected. In that group of moms, there were a few of us who all had kids the same age, 5-year-olds and younger. We're like, well, we should meet every week and be outside with our kids and homeschool together. And so we did, we started. And we're actually in our, I've lost track, I think like our 16th year of a group together. And there are three of us that are the three original, we call ourselves the founding mothers. And then others that have been along for almost the whole time as well. And so that became part of just our weekly homeschool and lifestyle routine. Every week, go out and spend the whole day outside together, exploring, learning together, hiking, tide pooling, all that stuff. And then from that has grown me writing and speaking about, I call it creating connection in a disconnected world, because I really believe one of the best gifts we can give to our kids who are, and to ourselves, we're all so connected, but not with real life connections. We're connected digitally, and we need to get connected to nature, to God's creation, to the outdoors, and to one another in that setting, as way more than most of us are.
Yes. Whoa. And you've written a couple books. What are they called?
So the first one is called Adventuring Together, Creating, oh gosh, I always forget the subtitles of my books. I'm the worst author. Basically, it's about creating connection and making lasting memories with your kids. I always say the adventure is the vehicle and connection is the goal. So in the book, I share all these ways you can connect with your kids. That's the ultimate goal, with using the vehicle of adventure. And not all of them are outdoor adventures, but many are, because I just think it's such a natural place for those kind of connections to happen. And then the second book is a book for kids, and it's called 100 Days of Adventure. And in it, I created 100 adventures for kids to get out and experience the world, whether it's through nature or through books, through cooking, a lot of things that I loved to do when I was a little girl, things that my kids love doing. And there's 25 adventures per season. And yeah, it's full of just fun stuff to do off of screens.
Oh, it sounds amazing. So let's talk a little bit about our mutual friend, Henrietta Mears. We both love her. I discovered Henrietta Mears during the Jesus movement at Calvary Costa Mesa. We had a little prayer room behind the sanctuary. And when people would give their life to Christ, then they would ask them to go in there. And then there'd be counselors in there and people that would pray with them and give them Bibles and a correspondence Bible study. Well, so one day I was in that room for something, I don't know why, and there was this book there. And I've never met a book I didn't like. So I had to pick it up and check it out. And it was about Henrietta Mears. So I brought it home. And I think I knew about her because of Regal Curriculum or Regal Press. So I took it home. I read the book in like 2 days. And then I brought it back to Calvary and put it on the bookcase. But ever since then, I began to delve into her life. And so she was raised in Minneapolis in a very affluent home. And she almost got married, and the Lord revealed that the gentleman who she was going to marry's character was off. And she, at the last minute, he was the love of her life, called off the engagement, and she never did marry. But she became a education director at her church in Minneapolis. And then she met the pastor of Hollywood Presbyterian, and they became besties. And so he said, Henrietta, when are you going to come and work for me? And she said, oh, that's never going to happen. And he's like, well, you need to come visit Hollywood. And she's like, no, that would never happen. But then she and her sister went to Europe, and on their way home, which is not convenient to go to California, but for whatever reason, they stopped at Hollywood Pres. And the Lord called her there. And they bought a beautiful house across from UCLA, kind of a mansion. And they began to minister to the kids at UCLA, particularly the boys, because Henrietta's philosophy was, if you attract the best men, the women will come. So many things she did, but mainly what she did was she invested in the education of children. They call her the mother of evangelicalism. Is there such a word? Anyway, she's the mother of the evangelical world. And then, of course, what she's also wonderfully known for is her love for camping and the outdoors. And so Henrietta would rent all these different camps. The whole church would go on family camp together, and the church kept growing, and they had 5,000 people in their Sunday school. So she ran out of space. There was nowhere to rent. It was big enough. And she prayed, and somebody said, well, come up and see this camp. And they drove her, and one miracle after another, and they bought it for like cents, you know. And it is still, I think Forest Home is considered probably the greatest Christian camping ministry in America. Yeah. So tell us about your link there and how Henrietta impacted your life.
We are taking a short break from the show to tell you about our in-person seminars coming up in 2024. Our newly revised and updated book lists are hot off the press. You don't want to miss our very own American History handout for the elementary years. Carol and JJ will be teaching our basic seminar, A Literature-Based Approach to Education, where you'll learn the framework and get the tools you need to homeschool with confidence. We have seminars coming up in Minnesota, Dallas, and Nashville later this year. And if you aren't able to come to any of those locations, you can join our live webinar on June 1st. To learn more, visit our website at homeschoolmadesimple.net/seminars. We can't wait to see you in 2024. Now back to the show.
Gosh, I mean, I went to Forest Home the first time when I was a young teen, and I went to work. They have a special ministry for their family camp, which is a camp that runs all summer long. And it's really special because, you know, a lot of times you think of summer camp, like kids go away from their families, which is super fun. I loved doing that when I was a kid. But there's also a really special time where a whole family could go to camp together. And there's just not as many opportunities like that, I think. Like a lot of times if you're a mom with a bunch of little kids, you're like, oh my gosh, taking my kids camping. Yes, I know it's wonderful, but it's so much work. And so what Forest Home does is like, hey, we're going to offer you the opportunity to have this super deeply connecting and bonding experience to camp with your family, but we're going to make it easier for you. We're going to cook all the meals. You get to sleep in a cabin, not in a tent. And they have babysitters. So in the evenings when they have special speakers for the parents to listen to, so that the parents are getting ministered to, they have babysitters for the kids. So I went the first time as one of those babysitters and I loved it. And I saw these parents at family camp and I thought, wow, one day, wouldn't it be so wonderful to be able to bring my family here? I would love that. And lo and behold, many years later, my family got to do that. We got to go to family camp. And the first time we went together as a family, I believe was about 8 years ago. And honestly, family camp at Forest Home has just radically impacted the faith of our whole family. And I would say as individuals, so each one of us, our faith has been impacted in a really profound way, grown our faith. We've connected deeply with Jesus, but it's also impacted the faith of our family as a whole. It's opened up communication for us to be able to talk about the kind of church environment we wanted to be in, the kind of faith we wanted to have as a family. And we've grown closer because of our years at Forest Home. Because after that first year, my husband and I were like, whatever it takes, we're going to come back. And we've come back every year since. This summer that's coming up, my oldest will be working as a counselor at Forest Home. So he's going to be one of those counselors for those little kids. My daughter has been a babysitter like I was for kids every summer. This summer, she's going 3 times. And it's a really special, so special, in fact, that my husband calls it Rivendell, which if you know the story of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, that's an extremely special place of rest and refreshment and spiritual connection. And that's what Forest Home is to us. It's a remarkable place. It really is. And it's touching so many people's lives for Jesus.
I know. And the other thing that I love to trace is the power of Christian camping in significant people's lives. So I don't know what camp Pastor Chuck was raised at. It might have been at Forest Home, but he tells a story of always wanting to be a surgeon. And he thought he would make lots of money and be able to invest in the kingdom, and he would help people. He loved science. And he was away at camp, and I kind of think it might have been Forest Home. And at the last night, there's this bonfire with you all get a pine cone. See, Henrietta invented all these things. So when it came time for him to put his pine cone in the fire and kind of you're dedicating your, you know, the Lord spoke to him and called him to the ministry. So he knew that was the Lord. And he put his pine cone and he went back And he said to his mother, who, you know, he was another miraculous birth, similar situation. His sister had died, was going into convulsions and was dying. Mother said, if you will save my daughter, Lord, I will give you this child that I am carrying and I will disciple him. And so she never told him any of that, but his whole life, she would follow him around while he was, because he was an athlete. She'd be making him recite scripture. And I mean, it's an amazing story. But the point is that she had never told him about his birth and that she had given him to the Lord for ministry. So he comes home from camp and he says, Mom, I don't want you to be disappointed. I'm not going to be a surgeon. And she said, oh, really, Chuck? And then he said, I'm a pastor. And she never told him until she was in the last days of her life. And so again, can we trace this back to Henrietta?
Yeah. I mean, even in my own life, one of the hugely transformational moment happened for me when we were at family camp before Forest Home a few years ago. The speaker that was there, his Josh McDowell, I'm sure you've heard of Josh. And he was speaking about the dangers of pornography and how it's impacting the Christian church and specifically children. And I felt so called to use the platform God has given me to speak out on that issue. And I spoke to Josh and I was like, what can I do? And he's like, you need to talk to moms. I can't talk to moms the same way you can. You have access that I don't. You need to talk to moms about this. They need to know they're on the front lines. They can protect their kids. And that was the impetus for me to speak of my other passion, which is protecting kids in a digital world. And that happened because of our week at Forest Home. So the impact of Christian camps, and for us specifically in our family of Forest Home, it's tremendous. And then this kind of goes back to what we're talking about, is this time in nature, is because in our world, we're so busy and there are so many things to distract us. To have that time that's dedicated to spend in God's creation, surrounded, you're looking at the mountains, you're in the trees, you are connected to God in the quiet that doesn't happen much in our world anymore. And it's very unique and it's so needed because that is where we meet him in special ways. I truly believe it. It doesn't mean God can't speak to us in our bedroom or, you know, in the kitchen when we're washing dishes. Of course, he can meet us anywhere, but there is a quiet and a connection. We know him and we see him in unique ways when we're in his creation. You just can't deny that that exists.
Greta, you are such a kindred spirit. So I know that you're starting a podcast. Tell us about that and how people can follow you on those nasty screens we all own.
Yeah, my podcast is just starting. I mean, I got to be honest right now, like I'm in the middle of launching a podcast and writing my third book. And
wow,
just my second son is earning his Eagle Scout in Boy Scouts, and it's just crazy around here. So if you see me online, it's a miracle because I don't have much time to be there right now, but you would find me best on Instagram. That's where I am the most active. And you can find my brand new podcast, the Greta Eskridge Podcast. It's on iTunes and Spotify and all the places where you look for, listen to podcasts. And I have a website, GretaEskridge.com, with a blog that I occasionally write articles for, not as much as I should, but I'm writing a book. So yeah, I don't have much extra space for writing, but yeah, those are all the places where you can find me and the two books that I've written that are on Amazon and bookstores at your library. I'm plugged in a lot of places, and you'll hear, if you spend any time in those places, you'll hear the things I'm passionate about, which it all boils down to connection. Cause I think we're all longing for connection with God, connection with each other, connection with creation. That's what we're longing for right now. And I want to help people find ways to do that.
Oh, well, would you close us in prayer for that very thing that is on your heart?
I'd love to. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity. You do provide us to connect with a lot of people over screens. And I pray that you would help us to use technology wisely, but I also pray that you would help us not to be too captivated by it And that instead we would get outside and put our feet in the grass and teach our kids to experience the wonder of you as a creator through your creation, the delight in clouds in the sky and a bug crawling across a leaf and beautiful vistas from places like the Grand Canyon or just in the park across the street. I pray that you would help us to seek you out in the beauty of the world you made. And I thank you for the opportunity you've given Carol and I to talk to one another and to declare that we're now best friends. Thank you for the gift of friendship, even when it comes across the screen. We're so grateful, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Greta, this has just been a joy. I am being challenged and stimulated like, okay, where are my hiking boots? Where's the backpack? Where's, you know, this, we need one another. We sharpen one another in these areas because we all believe this, but are we living like we believe this? And I think it was Spurgeon who said, look at a man's bank book and I'll tell you about it. And I like to think, well, look at a man's calendar. And how many days are they blocking to be in God's creation? How many hikes have they taken? How many bike rides? How many fishing trips? How many, you know, mud puddles have they splashed in with their grandchildren? Whatever the age and stage of our lives, we always have to intentionally push each other into the world of creation.
Yeah, you're right. And it comes at a cost. It takes time. I've seen over and over again that it's worth it. It's hard. And you're sacrificing something. You don't know how many things in my house need to be fixed up. It's a disaster, but it's okay. Like that is not the most important thing.
That's right. On your deathbed, you're not going to be like, man, I should have reorganized that closet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're not like, oh, the wish I would have painted that hallway, man.
All about the people that you've invested in that you're going to take you to heaven. That's what we're here for. And it's all going to burn, as Chuck Smith always taught us, all going to burn. But people are the only thing that are eternal. This has been a joy. Let's do this again soon.
Okay, I'd love it.
All right, honey. God bless you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast with Carol Joy Side. If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave us a rating and review wherever you listen? Your review helps other people know what to expect when finding the show. And we so appreciate your help. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. I'm Rachel Winchester. Remember, Jesus's commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.